In the name of a God of love, in the name of a God who so loved the world that he gave his only son, in the name of the son who so loved me that he gave his life. So this morning we find Jesus on the Tuesday of Holy Week being questioned by a legal expert from among the Pharisees. This is by no means the first time Jewish religious leaders have attempted to publicly confound Jesus, but it will be their last. After this attempt, even the Pharisees seem to conclude that this is a futile endeavor, and they move on to hatch a plan to silence him forever. It is not surprising that their attempt to challenge Jesus is about an issue that relates to the law. That is their comfort zone. That is a means by which they maintain their positions of authority, the law or rules. And while the laws and rules are their claim to existence, their justification for authority, and the means by which they protect their high position of privilege, it is also their Achilles heel, and Jesus knows it. And they seem to know that Jesus knows it. And so they need to prove that Jesus' knowledge of and understanding of the laws is fallacious. If they can prove that, then they can undermine Jesus' authority. And undermine Jesus, they must. That or be rid of him. The Sadducees, chief priests, and the Pharisees were all proponents of the law, even to the degree that they seemed to have forgotten what the law was for. As Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Or the laws were made for man. Man was not made for the laws. The laws, according to Jesus, help us to worship and serve God. The laws themselves are not to be served and worshiped. And this tension within the Jewish community exists to this day. To this day, there are large and conspicuous groups within the Jewish community who worship the laws and have rules to cover everything from the mundane to the profound. There are people, groups of people within certain sects whose sole responsibility is to study and interpret the laws and apply those laws to everything in your daily lives. There are men whose full-time jobs are devoted to dietary laws alone. But this phenomenon is not limited to the Jewish community. There are people who identify as Christians who seem to claim that it is the Bible itself that should be served and worshiped. They seem to accept the Bible itself as God rather than a means by which to understand our God so that we may better serve him. Just as there were Jews in the time of Jesus that worshiped the law, there are Christians now who worship the scripture itself rather than see it as a means by which to understand he who is to be worshiped. And Jesus challenged this concept. Jesus proclaimed the word and the will of God rather than the law. Jesus proclaimed that it is God who is to be worshiped and served, not the law itself. And so the Pharisee lawyer either couldn't grasp this concept or strive to defeat it. The Pharisee lawyer asked Jesus a question within the context of how the Pharisees understood the law, how they understood the law's place in the scheme of things. That is, the Pharisee lawyer's operating assumption was that it was the law that was important. And so he asked Jesus a question within that context, based on the assumption that it was a law that was of paramount importance. What the lawyer seemed to not understand is that Jesus was operating from a much more profound and deep basis. My Jesus was challenging the importance of the law itself. What the lawyer did was tantamount to me telling you that one should not eat ice cream at all. And to prove that my argument against ice cream is fallacious, you ask me which is better, chocolate or vanilla. My Jesus was saying that all of these minute distinctions within the laws are unimportant. All of these discussions about which is more important within the law is without real meaning. In response to the lawyer's question about the law, which law was most important, Jesus responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All the laws, all 613 of the commandments, all the prophecies, all the scriptures, all of these things are subservient to love. All of these things should be understood through the lens of love. All of these things should be seen through loving eyes, understood with a loving mind, felt with a loving heart. If you find yourself in a situation and want to know what to do, ask yourself, what is loving? Conversely, if you know, want to know what not to do, ask yourself, what would not be loving? If a physician whose work it is to heal encounters a sick person on the Sabbath, what should the physician do? Obey the literal law of the Sabbath and not work, or heal the sick person? What is the loving thing to do? God is love. He sent his only begotten son to us in love, and his son died for us out of love. And what kind of love are we talking about here? What kind of love is Jesus talking about? The scholar, the theologian Clayton Smith said, our culture has created love with intense emotion. To love is a stronger response than to like. And both are measures of a passive response to something outside us. We like chocolate, we cannot help ourselves. We love a movie, it entertains or moves us. We love a boy or girlfriend, they make us happy. We love a spouse, they complete us. But biblical love is not passive, and it is not strictly emotional. In the Old Testament, there are references to many kinds of love, but the love that Jesus referred to here is the love of Deuteronomy 6, the love of Yahweh. This love is far from passive. It is the active response of the faithful person to the love of God. This love requires action. It does not require passionate feelings. You don't have to have passion for your neighbors to love them. You just have to treat them in a loving way. You can even feel apathy towards them as long as you treat them with love. If they are hungry, feed them. You don't have to be passionate about them. You don't even have to like them. Jesus does not require that you like people. He requires that you love people, that you act in a caring manner, that you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those that are sick and in prison. That's the kind of love my Jesus is talking about. Schmidt goes on and says, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul seems nearly impossible when we think of love as an emotion. How does one conjure up feelings for something that is remote, mysterious, and disembodied as the concept of God? We cannot look into God's eyes, wrap our arms around the Spirit, or even see the face of Jesus. If we could, that might evoke in us a profound feeling of love. We might fall in love with Jesus' beauty and grace if we could know him as Mary and Martha did, but we are commanded to love an intangible God, a God we cannot touch. We love that God through our actions towards others, not through our words about God. St. Francis said, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. When necessary, use words. We preach the gospel with our feet. When your neighbor starts talking to you about the spouse that they lost and you stop and listen, when you put other things aside and just listen to them, that's love. That's the love Jesus is talking about. You might not even like your neighbor or even like the spouse that they lost, but you're listening, you're being there. That's the love Jesus is talking about. When you call somebody that's lonely, that's love. When the teller at the store is short with you, wow, look at them and sincerely say thanks and have a good afternoon, that's love. When you hear racist remarks and speak up, that's love. Christian love is not sitting in a circle, touching toes and singing kumbaya. Christian love is respecting and embracing the dignity and inherent worth of everybody in that circle and everybody you encounter. Loving God is not manifested through your attendance at church. Loving God is manifested by what you do when you leave the church. God is love. If it ain't about love, then it ain't about God. How pious you are, how law-abiding you are unimportant when compared with how loving you are. Michael Curry said, think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families when love is the way. Imagine our neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine businesses and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty of room for all God's children. When love is the way, we would actually treat each other well, like we are actually family. Amen.